right? Or when you talk about a building something that rivals the Sears Tower, the biggest discussion is the foundation. They say, look, if you're going to build a building as tall as the Sears Tower, the foundation upon which you're going to build that building has to be so firm because it has to hold up all of this heavy weight. Now, in the same way you think about it, we're talking about this imara, this building called Islam. Okay? And we have built 1400 years on top of this foundation, but who laid down the foundation? The foundation were these sahaba. The sahaba and the sahabiyat. Basically the female and the male companions of the Prophet ﷺ. And I'll tell you that many of them, their sacrifices and their foundational existence was based on their youth. I'm just giving you one example, but I could sit here for days on end and quote you example after example after example of the sacrifices made that allowed this deen to become established and allow us to exist as Muslims in this day and age. This was a tremendous amount of sacrifice that they made. We need to wake up. Seriously, each of us needs to sit down and think about what we're doing with our life. What are we sacrificing for? What are we struggling for? Where do we spend our time? Where do we spend our money? What are we doing with ourselves? How can it be that we come from such a great tradition and then our biggest sacrifice is, oh, you know, brother, I shut the TV off and I came to the masjid. It's something to think about, you know, that we're struggling with basic things like coming to the masjid, like opening the Quran for a few minutes every day, like simply being Muslim, and these people before us, they established their deen through their struggles. It's because we've totally messed up the criterion. We have no idea what it means to sacrifice, and we make a little sacrifice and we pat ourselves on the back. We have a long way to go. So these types of historical narrations, they're not present for us to simply say, wow, what a great story. I'm going to go and tell this to my kids, or, you know, this is a bedtime book that we can read to our children. That's not what this deen was about. These historical preservations, right, are present for us to reflect on and to ask ourselves, what are we doing with our time? What are we doing with our wealth? What are we doing with this brain and this energy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us? And we need to begin to create an environment of sacrifice. Because without that environment of sacrifice, we will never be able to establish what's so dear to us. Nor will we be able to establish it within ourselves. And the vast majority of us know that we struggle with our deen every day. Nor will we be able to establish it within our families. And obviously, we won't be able to establish it within our communities and our neighborhoods. So these are things to reflect on. Now, in this blessed month of Ramadan, which is basically a month of sacrifice, a month of struggle, each human being receives an incredible opportunity to start anew. That's the blessing of Ramadan. It allows a human being to reset themselves. I'll tell you, we basically spend 11 months wasting our time, you know, pursuing our desires, sinning beyond control, disconnected from the masjid, disconnected from our Lord. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He takes us despite our imperfections and allows us to enter into this blessed month. But you have to take advantage of this month. This is a month where a human being can basically reset themselves and go back to who they need to be. It's amazing that finally after 29 days, 27 days, 28 days of Ramadan, we finally begin to experience what it means to be a Muslim. But remember that Ramadan is a time to establish those sacrifices, but then they subsequently need to become permanent and solid outside of the month of Ramadan as well. So number one, the focus is now these last remaining days. There's no doubt that probably many people in this room, and I'm the first one to stand up and admit it, have wasted many days of this month. But the beauty of it is that the month, although it exists as a month, is all about a moment. If an individual can find that moment in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's special mercy showers upon them, and they can happen to turn back to their Lord and beg for forgiveness and make up for the mistakes that they've made, then everything's taken care of. It's all about a moment. Although it exists within a month, it's about seeking that moment. So for each of us, we need to begin to recognize that these last few days of Ramadan are essential in the pursuit of that goal. Now, in particular, one of the special things that exists during these upcoming days is the last 10 days of Ramadan. In the last 10 days of Ramadan, the Prophet ﷺ was particular about isolating himself in the masjid and focusing absolutely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not that the Prophet ﷺ wasn't always focused on Allah, but it was a lesson to his community to increase their focus on Allah during these last 10 days. So I highly encourage you to follow the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ and to spend some time in i'tikaf this Ramadan. Now, what does i'tikaf mean? I'tikafa ya'takifu in the Arabic language means to stick to something. So i'tikaf basically means that an individual pulls away from their daily life and sticks themselves in the masjid, seeking the mercy of Allah and seeking to rectify their soul. The Prophet ﷺ, every single year of his life, did i'tikaf. For the vast majority of years, it was 10 days, the last 10 days. In some years, he was sick or he missed it. Then the subsequent year, he made up 20 days. But it was always present as a sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And I'll tell you, for the youngsters in the community, this is a great opportunity for them to reset themselves. Bring them into the masjid, establish them within the i'tikaf, and allow them to basically spend some quiet time. We have no quiet time anymore. Everything is constant noise. Person sits down in the car, the radio's on. Even if it's Islamic, it's the radio. It's some talk, it's something else. We're constantly surrounding ourselves with noise. We always have to be watching something. We always have to be saying something. We always have to be doing something. These are the 10 days in which you can lock yourself in the masjid and totally clear yourself. There is no noise. It's just you and your Lord. It's just silence. There's so many hours of silence that exist, and that's beneficial for a human being. When the Quraysh used to have children, including the birth of the Prophet ﷺ, they used to take their children outside of the city and give them to the nomadic tribes that were dwelling in the desert, so that their children could spend some time in the desert. Now, why did they like to do that? And the Prophet ﷺ also spent some time in the company of the family of Hanima, his wet nurse mother. So why did they do that? They did that because when the children were in the desert, there was air, there was openness, there was silence. It was different than the city. It was a beautiful place to develop. So in the same way, the i'tikaf is sort of our ability to air ourselves out, to take our soul and to allow it to breathe, to take ourselves away from these sports that entrap us, right? The TV and the noise and the music that constantly distracts us, the conversations that we're constantly engrossed in, to cut ourselves off from that and to put ourselves in the masjid. And that's what i'tikaf is all about. So I know that everyone can't necessarily do 10 days. It might be difficult. But if you're able to do all 10 days, it's the chance of a lifetime. It's what makes a person into a human being. We have an i'tikaf program in Chicago that I basically try to hold each year. You're welcome to attend that. It's a very organized program. If you're not able to attend that, you can attend i'tikaf in any masjid. The point is the same. The benefit will exist wherever you are. But I highly encourage you to take advantage of that. I know there's an i'tikaf that occurs in this masjid. If you're not able to spend 10 days, come on the weekend. Come on the evenings. But get you, yourself, your children, your family members into the masjid. And spend some time airing ourselves out. So that, inshallah, we can reconnect with our Lord. Anyway, these are the people that passed before us. They'll be judged for their sacrifices. We're now in our own generation, in our own time. We'll be judged for our sacrifices. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to be able to sacrifice in the way that our pious predecessors did, to become among those whose hearts and words become effective, so that when we speak to ourselves, when we speak to our family, when we speak to our neighbors, we can actually have an effect on them. And may He make us among those who are deeply attached to our tradition, just as our pious predecessors were. If I said anything good, it's from my teachers, and if I made any mistake, then that's from myself. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless each of us in the remaining days of Ramadan and allow us to find that special moment when we can rectify or reconnect with our Lord. Wa akhiru ta'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.